Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
When they hired Kyle, I was thrilled. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk about the 49ers' 41-31 win over the Giants, first win of the season for San Francisco. We'll hear from Coach Shanahan, and we'll hear an irate talk show host in New York talking about the New York Giants. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Finally, Steve, a win for the San Francisco 49ers. It took a long time, 9 losses in a row. They met their match, the New York Giants. And actually, this was a matchup that happened for the first time since 1984 that teams with a combined 1 win played each other in Week 10 or later. Only the third time in the Super Bowl era. But you know what? It still was interesting to see who was going to really go for it. And certainly the 49ers executed better and had a lot more passion, I thought, to win this game. That, you know, the Giants seem to be going in the other direction, where maybe the 49ers, you know, this is something they could build on. We'll have to see.
Absolutely, and I think you ultimately hit the nail on the head. The Giants are going in an upward trajectory, and the 49ers are going upwards, and the Giants are going downward. If you put them on a graph,
yeah.
It's funny statistically, actually pretty close game. But to me, the big difference, and we've talked about it all year, is 49ers were 67% on third down.
That was a big difference. Yeah. And that, and also I think the 49ers in the open field, the Giants didn't make any tackles. Just the 49ers scored on some long plays. You know, they piled up almost 500 yards.
Yeah. They made big plays. That, I would say that was the other difference. Because pretty much everything else was about the same, except for, you know, Niners had 100 more yards in offense than the Giants did. But I would say, yeah, the two things: third down, kept drives alive, and made big plays. And then the part you don't see in the stat line is what you said, that they played with more passion than the Giants did.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about that because I think there's sort of a big difference between, you know, in general, Bay Area sports, New York sports, just the passion of it in general. Maybe not the passion, but the way the scrutiny comes out in New York compared to here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I'm not saying that everybody here is easy on coaches and players, but in New York, I mean, if you don't get it done, I mean, they're ready to take your head off. And I think, you know, maybe Shanahan was getting more of a pass because it's his first year. Whereas McAdoo, yeah. I mean, he's coming off an 11-win season last year, but they are just all over him.
Yeah, they are. And somewhere, one of the articles I had read, they had quoted an unnamed source that the Giants, some of the Giants players, had, or the team had quit on him, which is never, obviously never a good sign. And honestly, I was kind of surprised they didn't fire him after the game. I have to admit, even though I don't want to see that, but I don't know. I didn't necessarily get that whole hire to begin with, but I don't know McAdoo, you know, at all. They definitely do seem like they're going in the wrong direction, though.
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't get fired either. I mean, it is sort of surprising that you would sort of wait until maybe later, the end of the year, or whatever it is, because it seems imminent for sure.
But
let's listen to Mike Francesa, talk show host in New York on WFAN, really let Ben McAdoo have it. Let's listen in to this, something that I don't think that you would hear here in the Bay Area.
And for the idea that he could stand there and say he's not embarrassed, Just got to get back to work. Just got to get the tape and correct a couple of things. What are you talking about? Hello, anybody at home? You're not embarrassed by that? Then what the hell would embarrass you? You're not in. These are the New York Giants. This isn't some ragtag bunch. This is the football Giants, and you're not embarrassed by that? I was embarrassed for you watching it. I guarantee you Giant fans were embarrassed. I guarantee you the owner was embarrassed, and if he wasn't, you know what? I got to take his pulse.
So that's what's going on in New York right now. Yeah. I don't think we really talked about that with the 49ers. I don't think the word embarrassed came up that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe because Kyle Shanahan admitted that, you know, he was upset and he was maybe embarrassed about it. But I don't know. That is just when you get to that point, it's got to be difficult to swallow for everybody, because then, you know, I don't think the players have the coaches back over there. It seems like a real mess.
It does. And I think just the opposite is happening in San Francisco. I think the players have Kyle's back, and Kyle has the players back, and John and the whole organization, because you could see at the end of the game, you could see the relief. Kyle really, I mean, he wanted to smile with 4 or 5 minutes to go, but he was holding it in every time they showed him on television. And but you could, I mean, you could see the relief that they had obviously finally gotten a win, that they've been close, they've been competitive, they're playing hard. Yeah, they're young. Yeah, they're making mistakes. But, you know, this is a win that propelled them to more, that you and I have talked about, that I have said in my experience of going 1-10, you know, 1 win, 10 losses in a row, and then winning 5 in a row, it all of a sudden guys go, oh, that's how we have to play. You know,
right.
And no, and seriously, if it feeds on itself, if you can get the snowball going in the right direction, going down the hill now, then it, people buy, you know, people start jumping on like, oh, that's what we have to do. And it goes in the right direction. So hopefully that's what this win is. You couldn't have come at a better time. You got a bye week. You get time to get some guys healthy, get some guys some more practice time. I'm sure they'll still have, you know, 4 or 5 days off. They'll probably get a couple of days of practice in, but couldn't have come at a better time.
How much do you think it helped that they didn't fall behind big early? Yes, they were down at the end of the quarter, the first quarter, 6-3, but that's nothing compared to other games where when you're trying to come back and you have Beathard throwing the ball 51 times against Arizona and getting killed, it seemed to be a lot different here, where they were able to have the run-pass mix. They really had almost an even mix. Beathard was well protected. He didn't get sacked. I mean, it just seemed like such a difference that they could actually run the ball.
Right, and they controlled the game with the run, which you and I have talked a lot about, that they hadn't been able to do because they get behind early. Made a huge difference. The balance, no sacks, defense can't pin their ears back and rush the passer every down because they know they got to play the run, and we ran the ball really well. You know, Carlos, Rita, they ran the ball well.
Yeah, Hyde had almost 100 yards in the game. You know, both of those guys, a couple times, they ran into a wall where they just didn't even have anywhere to go. It sort of reminded me of Marcus Allen in that Super Bowl where he goes one way and there's
Once
nothing there.
Yeah,
and reverses. Mm-hmm. And both of these running backs did that in the same game. That, to me, is great. I mean, you see something like that where, okay, I'm going to make an adjustment. And that was something we really haven't seen a lot of from Hyde and Breida.
Yeah, no, that was good. That also, on the flip side, goes back to your early point that the Giants weren't very good on defense, meaning that nobody's there in support where they're supposed to be on the backside. You know, guys not taking care of their responsibility. So that becomes part of it as well. But I'm going to look at it like you, as on the positive side, that, you know, we were able to make a mountain out of a molehill.
I wanted to talk about Marquise Goodwin because we've known all season that he's a great weapon because of his speed. He's had some big drops. He's had some big plays as well, but this touchdown that he caught for 83 yards, and that was his only catch of the game, but that was so meaningful on a couple of levels. One is that, you know, he got open, great pass by Beathard. He catches the ball. He runs in for a score. I mean, that was great. And then the emotion, he's in tears because of what happened. And, I don't think Fox even knew about this. They didn't talk about it on the telecast, but he had put out an Instagram about how he had lost his baby, you know, him and his wife lost his baby in childbirth. So emotional that, you know, he played in the game. He caught that touchdown. That's just something that all came together at once.
Yeah, that was really neat. Really neat to see. And I think that's going back to the football side of it. You know, that's the kind of play that they need to get from Goodwin, because that's the type of receiver he's the vertical stretch guy.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately they don't have the route runner pass catcher in Garcon, lost to injury. But hopefully we can get somebody. I'm trying to remember, did Bourne, I don't think he had any catches.
No, Bourne had a few. He had three of them.
Oh, he did. Okay, yeah. Okay. I'm not remembering from the stat line, but okay. So that's good, because last week I talked about him, that he maybe seemed to be that guy that maybe is the kind of the outside possession guy, I'll call him, because the two young tight ends, Selleck and Kittle, seem to be able to fill that inside, obviously tight end kind of big receiver role. I think that they have to fill that role. And it seemed like they did on Sunday.
Yeah. And with Kittle out, they needed a tight end to step up, and Selleck did. I mean, he had that touchdown 47 yards.
Yeah.
And that's another guy who they've kind of been waiting for this. Cause I think Selleck has it in him to get open, make some catches, but we haven't seen a lot of it.
Right. We have not, and we've seen some drops from them, unfortunately. But they're young guys, and I believe that John and Kyle see a future, for them as a big time tight end or a big receiver type, working the middle of the field but still being able to get vertical.
Yeah, and by the way, just to close out on that Goodwin point, that had to be tough just emotionally to take the field. I thought a little bit about Brett Favre when he lost his dad, and then he played in that game in Oakland.
Yeah.
This is different, but it's just got to be painful and hard to concentrate on football and maybe not get any sleep, because he had posted that, I think, at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Thank goodness it never happened to me. I'm trying to remember if I was ever with someone that, something like that had happened to. I'm honestly not recalling. I wasn't with Brett when that happened to him. I think it was, a year or two after I was with him. But I can't imagine the emotion of that. And some of the things that I read, it sounded like Shanahan wasn't really even sure when he came in if he was going to be mentally stable enough to play. I'll call it, mentally or emotionally there to be able to play.
Yeah.
But he was, and he had a great play, a big play that the Niners have been looking for all year.
We'll continue the conversation with Steve Bono right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on special offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. let's talk about the quarterback position, because I don't want to call this a controversy. It isn't. But now that you have C.J. Beathard having, you know, pretty much one of his better games, I think it was his best game. He was 19 out of 25.
He threw
that pass to Goodwin, the one to Salek. I mean, he really showed off that if he has some time, he could stand up in the pocket. He could even run a little bit. He ran for a touchdown. He just showed some real positive things that I think you would want to build on in the next game. Now, we had him ticketed for sitting down and Jimmy Garoppolo coming in after this bye. Now, what do you think? Because I think it's a tough decision for Coach Shanahan.
It is going to be hard. I'm really happy for T.J. Beathard because, one, he didn't take a beating like he had the week before.
Yeah.
And that's fun to play quarterback when you can do what he did this last weekend and have a high percentage game, not get hit all the time, make some big throws, come off the field and not have a grass stain on your uniform.
Right.
his only grass stain was diving in the end zone for a touchdown, so that was good. offensive linemen take pride when you can walk off the field as a quarterback at the end of the day and not have any grass stains on your butt or your back. They like that. I would say it's going to be hard for them to sit him down in 2 weeks. He's earned it, and there'll be a lot of time spent by Kyle, sleepless nights, trying to figure out is Garoppolo ready? If there's any doubt, then TJ, if I were Shanahan, then I would be playing TJ because he's earned the right to continue being the starter.
Well, let's hear what Coach Shanahan said after the game about this situation, Garoppolo or Beathard against Seattle.
We'll see how practice goes next week. CJ played pretty well. I thought he had his best game. I think he's gotten better each week in practice, and I think he got a show in the game the most. I thought the guys played around him their best game too, which definitely makes it easier to keep everyone out there and keep that going. But we'll see how Jimmy responds this week. We're going to get to work a little bit more one-on-one with him. Get a little extra practice on Monday and see how it goes, and we'll have our game plan done Monday and Tuesday, and we'll start practicing our game plan Wednesday.
It is interesting how coaches, even Major League Baseball managers, they like to ride the hot hand. Like he said, keeping the same guys out there. If you win and you play well, it's really tough to pull somebody out. I mean, I know it was totally different circumstances, but when Colin Kaepernick played well against the Bears on that Monday night, he stayed in as the starter. Now, for better or for worse, in the long run, the big picture, I don't know about that, but they did get to the Super Bowl eventually with Kaepernick as the quarterback. So these are tough. They're very difficult decisions. I don't know that you're going to ruffle a lot of feathers with Garoppolo because he is still learning the system. I don't know that you're going to hurt his feelings by saying, you know what, let's wait a little longer. But he's probably itching to play since he did get traded here to play.
No question. I mean, he wants to play just as much as he does. They're competitive guys, and especially as quarterbacks, only one gets to play, and you want to be that guy. I don't think Kyle will come out and say until maybe Wednesday or Thursday of next week who a starter is. Give Jimmy a couple more days of practice. And like I said, if there's any doubt that he's not ready, I wouldn't put him in. TJ, like I said, he's earned the right to start against the Seahawks.
Isn't it a lot different, Steve, during the season as far as practice, though, compared to, because before the season, when you're battling for a job, I would think that's a lot different than, okay, look at what Beathard just did in that last game. That's sort of your resume right now.
No question. Preseason, training camp, guys, if two guys are battling, they're getting equal time with first and second team, equal reps, equal snaps. So it's totally different. I mean, that's why I'm saying it won't be I don't think it would be announced until next Wednesday when they start practicing the game plan. And, you know, because whoever that starter is taking 80-90% of the reps.
How important is it for the How important is it for the coach to really be, you know, forthright with these quarterbacks or any players really? But I mean, I look at Kyle and I think he's very open with the media. He even mentioned that his own wife is asking him about, when are you going to play Garoppolo? I mean, I love that because he's you know, he's kind of giving us an inside window. But you know, there you can't really have too many secrets these days with the media and social media, all that stuff. But to be honest with, let's say, C.J. Beathard, I mean, you know, because he's going to be sitting there going, there's no way they're taking me out. I played great. It's got to be delicate for a coach dealing with this with all players, but especially quarterbacks in that position.
It's extremely delicate. And the emotions, the personalities, you need to know the personality of C.J. Beathard. You need to know the personality of Garoppolo. And he's just getting to know Garoppolo. So he needs to be, I mean, I wouldn't expect it to be any other way. I wouldn't want it any other way, to be 100% honest with him. And you know, how he approaches it, I don't know exactly. You know, does he... You know, if I were him right now in the situation, I think I would have to handle it as, you know, TJ earned the right to start next week. He's played well. He's getting better each week. Jimmy, we're going to get you as many reps as possible, and see, you know, try and get a feel for where you are in your progression, in your process of learning the offense. I would think you try and see and practice how the team responds to him, kind of in and out of the huddle during plays. You know, it's all of that is going to be taken into consideration, I would think.
By the way, on the telecast, I don't know how many people saw this, but I think it was in the first half. They did a great job. Fox had a graphic, and again, this is Kyle Shanahan being forthright. It had the whole listing of what a 49ers play call is, and it was fairly lengthy. It was, you know, it was a lot of detail. I don't know how anybody could remember all that. I can't right now remember one line of it. And you talked about that last week. You talked about coming out of that huddle. You have to have that rhythm of what the call is. I mean, it's just amazing what you guys have to remember, especially in an offense as complicated as the Kyle Shanahan offense.
Yeah, and it was, and we've heard that, you know, that was an issue for Hoyer. So we did talk about that last week, the rhythm of it. That's all going to be taken into consideration when in making that final decision of who's a starter. Obviously, Beathard is getting better at it. I'm sure he wasn't. I'm sure he's way smoother at it now than he was 4 weeks ago. So that's all in the decision making process. How they handle that piece of it, because that's all part of the, you know, the rhythm of getting in and out. We talked about getting in and out of the huddle, getting to the line of scrimmage, and that rhythm of playing fast. Playing fast football, not rushing, you know, not getting the line of scrimmage and rushing, but you're going 2 minutes. It's just there's a rhythm to the whole kind of playing fast, confident, positive, knowing what you're doing. I'm 100% confident in what I'm doing, and that kind of shows in your rhythm of getting in and out of the huddle and back to the line of scrimmage.
here's another aspect to this. They did this. They win this game against the 30th ranked defense. Now you've got Seattle coming in after the bye, and they're one of the better. They're still, they're not dominating like a couple of years ago, but they're still, I was looking at the numbers, they're still one of the better defenses. They've beat the 49ers, you know, the last, let's see, 8 times in a row, 10 of the last 11. So if you throw Garoppolo into that and he doesn't succeed, then all of a sudden it's like, why did you do that? Why'd you put him in there instead of Beathard?
Yeah.
Whereas if it's the opposite way and Beathard, let's say they just don't play well, Seattle, it's like, yeah, okay, well, it was Seattle. Yeah, we could just take him out. Garoppolo could start against the Bears the following week.
All part of it. And that's why in my mind I think that they're better off playing Beathard, because everybody on that team, everybody fan, everybody in that building knows that you're in the right to play on Sunday again.
Yeah, right.
And if you don't play him and Garoppolo struggles, now what you said. Now you've created kind of a two-headed monster. Whereas if TJ Blaze starts, struggles, then you can take him out and put Garoppolo in.
Exactly.
I think that's how I would go. I would not be surprised if that's what we see.
One thing is for sure, having Joe Staley in there as the left tackle and all pro really makes a big difference.
Absolutely helps.
Yeah, and he was back for this Giants game. That was huge.
Huge difference. Yeah, he's the best player on the team, and he's the best player at his position of anybody on the team. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of young guys that are going to be good, but he's still an all-pro.
Isn't that something? I mean, the best player, I agree with you. I mean, you look at that, it's so important to them, too, to have him there. He's big, he's quick,
no question.
And he's experienced.
makes a right-handed quarterback feel real good.
Exactly. Well, Steve, we've got a bye next week. We get a bye, just like the 49ers, so let's rest up, and we'll get ready for a couple of weeks and talk about the Seahawks game.
I hope we're talking about a great win over the Seahawks at home.
Maybe they've turned the corner here.
I hope so. I really do, man. It was really nice to see joy and everyone's face and see them hugging on the sideline, and that was a really good thing to see.
All right, Steve, we'll talk to you then.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. As we said, we'll be off next week with the 49ers on a bye, so check us out in a couple of weeks when we talk about the Seahawks game. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.